on the well, run down, on down. The radio is tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go.
Yeah, and we are going, Matt and CJ. Matt, I'm sorry I didn't get to come hang out with you last night. How was dinner with my fiance?
It's okay. I hurt my wife's feelings really bad, and she was very upset with me at the end of the night.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. We'll have to get into that.
No, we won't.
Okay, then I won't. I also pissed off my fiance quite a bit, and
Like we're two for two.
Yeah, we will get into that later, but I told you I wasn't coming over. I decided to stay home. Tackle a little bit of laundry, and I finally took care of my Halloween decoration problem.
Yeah, that's what I was really liking, and I didn't say anything to you last night because I enjoyed the fact you said you're going to go home and put up Halloween decorations, and the reason I enjoyed that is because you actually put up Halloween decorations earlier, but you put them up on the night before a giant storm, and it blew all of your Halloween decorations over. Now, I knew yesterday that a giant storm was coming through because of a hurricane off the west coast of Mexico. And last night, you're like, well, yeah, I'm going to go home and put up those decorations. So I just kept my mouth shut. How'd they fare?
Oh, well, so first off, I bitched about people putting up decorations in September. So there was obviously nothing at Lowe's or Home Depot. So I used a lot of my own stuff. This time I did a little better. I used some sticks and broken pieces of a fence to reinforce things. It's amazing what you can do with a couple of light bulbs just shining in an area to make everything look spooky. I got more of that spider web netting back up, and then woke up today to it all destroyed again. All destroyed! God damn it, again! Yeah, so I love that you're grinning like a Cheshire cat. I love that you just knew in your mind last night I was setting myself up for absolute failure.
Well, I didn't know that you were setting yourself up for failure, but it was odd to me, and then I thought, well, clearly he knows. I mean, it's been on the radar for like a week now. This huge storm is coming tonight. There's 100% chance of rain. They're saying no matter where you are in the city, you're going to get a deluge or a deluge,
yeah,
or water, if you will. And I thought, well, he's got something planned. But this morning when I woke up, I was like, you know what? I wonder if he did have anything planned or if he just got blown out again.
Got blown out again. It wasn't as bad this time because, like I said, I kind of reinforced things. But light bulbs, clamp lights, and electrical cords don't really mix well with pieces of branches blowing around and rain.
The bulbs faced up and then the water just collects in shorts.
Yes, because obviously, you know, you got to make the things look spooky and angle the bulbs just right, which make them very vulnerable
really
to branches and water.
You're one of my favorite idiots in this building.
Is the weather going to be good tonight? Do I actually have a chance to go back and
I
fix
think we're
it?
Done. I think we're done with the rain, and then this weekend's supposed to be beautiful.
Okay, so beautiful. I'll get Halloween decorations up just in time for literally Halloween, and then have to take them all down.
Okay, do you think you're going to reset them up again to like tonight or something?
I might, but I don't think the radio station has any more light bulbs I could steal from engineering. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
All right, let me know when you get everything up. Even if it's a nice night, I'll come over with a baseball bat and beat the crap out of it. Yeah.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
If you're headed out to Barton Springs pool this weekend, change of plans.
Oh, no!
Yeah, closed. Closed. All the rain, the heavy rain last night actually busted the floodgates. Heavy rain last night into the morning. It led to flooding in Barton Springs pool. And so the Parks Department had to close it until they can figure out if there's damage, how much damage, what's happening, all that good stuff.
Are you sure the flooding's not due to the picture I just posted on social media of myself shirtless?
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know what happened. I just started getting a bunch of, what do you call those things? Notifications? Mm-hmm. And people are just writing the word gross over and over again. I'm not kidding. And I thought, oh, did somebody not like one of my tacos from Talktober? But it,
what happened?
Turned
to, no, yeah. It's just me shirtless with cheese on me.
Is that why we have the flooding?
I think so.
You ever driven through, done like these people do, where they drive through the flooded waters and then end up getting swept away?
No, never. Just because you see so many of those videos, and when I lived in San Marcos, it would happen to people all the time. They would have to be rescued from their cars because they would try to drive through those low water crossings. Yeah.
Have you ever gone to Barton Creek up from the springs And gone like swimming, Twin Falls, Sculpture Falls, anything like that when the water is crazy?
Not when it's crazy, no. I did used to live on Big Walnut Creek. It was right behind my house, and it would flood up to the property, and it was kind of fun to play in the water then, which is nasty because it's filled with branches you know, toxins from the highway and whatnot.
I didn't know when I was younger. I loved going swimming in the creek after huge rains.
Yeah, because you could literally float the river.
Yeah, I had no idea how dangerous it was, because you would see an eddy and you would think, well, I can jump over this raging part, get to that eddy, and then get on this rock, not realizing what's under the water is what the danger is.
Oh, yeah.
You would look at the top and be like, I can do this, because when you're 19 years old and a man, you can't be killed.
Not at all, as we've learned.
But I do remember one time going with a buddy, and it were being kind of scary, and then we made it out to this rock and then sat there for a while and then decided to swim back. And I was like, oof, we can't make that running jump we made before. We're going to have to just get into the eddy and then somehow swim across this very swift. And I just remember thinking in the middle of it, like, oh, because we had shoes on. It's hard to swim with shoes.
Yeah, they fill up with water and you kind of start sinking.
Yeah, and this is how idiots drown. But in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm going to be fine. It was exhausting. It was frightening. It was scary. And then we got home that evening, and I remember seeing on the news, a news report, where they were just like, whatever you do, don't go swimming in Barton Creek, because it's incredibly dangerous. And I was like, man, it wasn't that dangerous. We were fine. And they said, and don't worry, it's not the water that's so dangerous. It's what's in the water, because the fecal count is
sewage
in the water, and sewage overflow and everything, that if you were to get close to the water, it could really cause issues. And I just remember a friend and I looking at each other like,
gulp.
And then, sure enough, about 12 hours later, a second raging torrential storm began in our bathrooms.
luckily, you did get it.
Yeah. Luckily, we had two bathrooms in this particular apartment, but boy, did the two of us learn a very good lesson about why you don't swim in the raging floodwaters right after the flood.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Earlier today, I was reading an article about musicians rating their top 25 albums of the last 25 years.
Okay.
Some interesting ones in there. Phoenix, who we play, Daft Punk's Discovery was their choice. Interpol chose Aphex Twins. Timberland chose Outkast. Speakerbox, The Love Below. And then funk R&B bassist Thundercat chose Slipknot, which is kind of interesting choice.
Hell yeah, that's so good.
This one's my favorite. Bun B likes Radiohead's OK Computer. But it got me to thinking that I cannot for the life of me place an album within the last 25 years that was that impactful on me.
Really?
I cannot think of anything, and I think it's because I don't listen to albums like I used to anymore. I buy singles. I still buy like actual vinyl, but I just don't listen to a complete album
in the last 25 years.
Dude, I cannot think of the last.
So let's just go back 25 years, okay?
I mean, I can think of Weezer's
That's
Blue
put
album.
That's going to 96.
But that was Blue album was 94.
Arcade Fire's full first album.
Okay. Yes.
There you go.
That one also.
See, I'm here to help.
Even Arcade Fire Suburbs, I liked the full thing.
Sure, but that was secondary. I can't even think of the name of that one, but it was
Radiohead's Kid A, maybe?
From 99, In the Airplane and Over the Sea.
Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah, so that's within the last 25 years.
Okay.
And I'm sure that one, as much of a, I don't know, kind of a soy boy you are, you probably loved that one.
I did, yeah. Also, when was Wilco's album that had Jesus Etc. on it?
That was 98. I thought it was earlier.
Are you wrong? Okay. All right, well, thanks for refreshing my memory. I was getting really disappointed because I was like,
are there any albums in the last 10 years, maybe, that really got to you?
2013, The National. I forget the name of that one, but
I feel like
I listen to that a lot.
I bet you were a kid that really liked, so this is going back to 2000. Oh, wow. 2003 is almost 20 years ago.
Gross.
Oh, things just got real sad. Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, turn on the bright lights, Interpol. And I was
a good one.
I know, but I was thinking that was, like, 10 years ago. And I was also going to say, well, what about Block Party? Block Party's big.
2004.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, wow, time just keeps on slipping, yeah. Slipping into future.
I'm glad you're refreshing my memory with some of these, you know, the indie artists that I've always listened to. But I still don't listen to albums like I used to. And the last time I think I remember doing it was around 1994-ish, Weezer Blue Album, Nirvana In Utero, because my dad had one of those magazine subscriptions. You know what I mean? Where you pay a penny and you get like 10 CDs a month.
In Utero?
In Utero. God, dude,
how am I
a radio DJ?
What was that? Yeah, dude, I was on the very tail end of the get the 10 CDs for a penny.
Yeah.
Did your generation miss out on that completely?
No, that's what I would do in elementary school and middle school. And then, you know, you had your Walkman with you, always skipping, and I would listen to full albums because that was just what you did. Listen, put the CD on, hit play. Green Day's Dookie was one. But yeah, I just don't do that anymore. And I just with streaming and Spotify and everything like that, I feel I've gotten away from it. And it just, I don't know, reading that made me sad. I was like, I should be able to nail this and just have great albums, but even my
there's still been some. I mean, I know that it's easy for us sometimes to go, oh, there's nothing really influencing me right now. But I think if you sat down and thought about it, especially if you went through your new stereo system, which is your phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
You would probably have your... there's a lot of new country that I'm into. Sturgill Simpson, okay, is for one.
Yeah.
And he had a great album that came out, and it was easy to listen to all the way through. I'm trying to think of some other... Now, were you ever a Kanye fan?
Yeah.
Did you get into any of those? Kanye still doesn't work for me. I just never enjoyed it. I know I'm absolutely on the outs, and I am
in an absolute minority.
Oh, but that far back? Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I thought you might have been into something, you know. Cool.
Wu-Tang had a pretty good album around 2001.
You're still, I'm looking for something in the last 5 to 10 years from you, baby.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. Even I do a top 50. I have for decades done a top 50 countdown at the end of the year, and it's all singles. I never like reflect on what was my favorite album this year. And I guess what I'm saying is I'm going to make that a goal to go back to listening to full albums.
Yeah, well, it's tough, too, because the business changed so much. The business in the 1950s and 60s was all about singles. Then, toward the 70s, artists really started getting into building full albums.
Yeah, yeah.
And, honestly, the way to make tons of money was to sell those albums, and so artists really got into them, and there are some incredible albums in the 70s and 80s, a little bit in the 90s. But as we've moved into, I mean, basically, you can look at squarely in the eyes of Napster, LimeWire,
yeah.
And now things like legal streaming, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, all those services have turned us once again into consumers of singles.
Artists are releasing EPs,
it doesn't behoove an artist to really sit down and go through the pain of structuring and creating a really great album when they know, hey, really,
I can release one song and it can pop on Spotify or TikTok, and that's going to sell my tour.
How many artists did you and I interview during this past ACL Fest who had one song that popped on TikTok? Mm-hmm. Awesome artist, really enjoyed interviewing them, but I they even said to me, hey, I got one song.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing a festival because I got one song.
Yeah, I love their set, but yeah, they even admitted, like, hey, this is a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Got an idea for you, CJ.
Yes.
Way that we can start filling up our weekends. Okay?
Okay, let's do it.
You and I should run a brewery tour.
Okay. But like drunk drive, just you and I get hammered and run the bus.
Well, here's the thing. The brewery scene has never been better than it is now. I just saw that one of Austin's OG craft brewers, Cellus, which reopened. Well, Christine Cellus.
Yeah.
Christine Cellus has been a friend of this building for 30 years. And Her father, Pierre Celis, started Celis Brewing. It got sold. It closed down.
Things got dirty in the mix.
And she was able to finally buy back everything, the recipes and all that stuff, and reopen Celis, which is really excited
about.
Dude,
Celis is great.
I think it's fun.
They're one of the few breweries that had a sour that I actually liked. I'm not a big sour fan, but I remember one of theirs distinctly. Well, obviously not enough to recall the name of it, but Celis Brewery's great.
Yeah. I have something sour I think you might like.
Man, I need to just realize every time you make that face when I say something, you're about to make a D's nut joke or something like that.
Grow up. I didn't say that at all. I just meant like there's a couple of beers I know that you might like.
Okay.
Anyway, Celis is expanding. They have the brew room is up there off of like the metric area up there, you know, where there's a lot of breweries.
Yeah, where all those like empty, shady warehouses were 10 years ago.
But, I mean,
and now
they're thriving.
Now it's awesome breweries.
They've expanded a whole bunch, and I noticed in the news today that they're going to have a whole cool backyard outdoor area. And that's sort of, I have some friends that own breweries up in Wisconsin. You would think that would be the heart of
beer.
And it is, kinda. But it's also the heart of, I mean, it's Miller Country for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it looms large forever. And, which I don't dog. I actually still love, I think a Miller Lite on a hot day is one of the infinitely crushable and a damn good beer. But the, you know, up there, it's so cold so often.
You can't hang out outside.
And most of the breweries don't have much in the way of tasting rooms. They really are kind of focused on shelf space and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I had one of those brewery friends down here, and I took him to a bunch of the places here in town, and he was sort of amazed. And he was like, do you even need to have good beer, or do you just need picnic tables to have a brewery down
and a
here?
Food
and
truck.
I was like, well, I'll be honest with you, it is a bit of a different marketing thing down here. I mean, if you have a lot of picnic tables and you have a couple of dog bowls where you can put water in there. I was like,
a few Edison bulbs for decor.
Sure, sure. But I saw this article about the outdoor space, and I love those because a lot of those are kind of family friendly. And for the bad dad club that I'm in, you know what I mean? There's the good dad club, and those are the people who spend the weekend
at Pioneer Farms, picking apples,
throwing the ball with their kid in the backyard. I'm a bad dad. I gather my kids up, and I'm like, let's go get pizza, let's go get beers,
yeah,
let's go do donuts in a parking lot, and I embrace that fully. But then I was reading that, and I thought, you know what, you and I should do a brewery.
And it wouldn't be that hard. Dude, we could do a radio station sponsored thing.
Whoa. You're really going out there. I'm not thinking about buses, none of that. You've got a car already, right?
Yeah.
I get in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
You drive.
I take Matt around to different breweries. It's literally not that hard. I marched to my first Austin FC game with the supporters groups. We started at a brewery, walked next to a brewery, walked next to another brewery, and then we were at the stadium. I mean, they're all just like right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, did you think I wanted to do a service where we charge people and then we talk to them or whatever? No. I just meant like, will you drive me from brewery to brewery? That's what I meant by a brewery tour. They've got all these wine tours out in the quote unquote, air quotes, wine country.
Wine country, yeah.
I shouldn't say that. My family actually grows wine grapes, and it's in our best interest to talk positively about, I don't know, the wine business in Central Texas, but I don't know, some of those vineyards out there. Well, they're not even vineyards. They're bringing juice in from all around the country and then just mixing it and whatever.
Setting up a warehouse or
I'm getting
farm
political
table.
Now. Okay. But yeah, I mean,
did you guys just lose us our wine account?
That's
Big Wine is pissed.
But no, it would be fun. We should think of something. It would be fun to go get a bus one time, one of those kind of luxury. You know, like we were driving to ACL.
Yeah,
and just put a bunch of listeners on.
Yeah, like, fill it up with all our fat listener friends that love beer like you and I, and just toot around.
Did you just call our listeners fat?
I mean, come on, dude.
What?
Come on.
I still haven't been to an event to really meet our listeners. I really only know my listeners from my old station, and I don't know the listeners over here. I hear
they are much better over here.
I hear over here at 101X, the listeners are beautiful, smart, intelligent, well-educated.
And love good beer.
Love good beer.
Okay, so let's pack them on a bus and go have some fun.
Yeah, take those fatties from place to place, see what we can do.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
So the legislature here in Texas, they're in a new special session. Special session number three.
One. All right, they're going to fix the power grid.
No, they're not doing that, actually.
Okay.
And Well, I think the special session, I mean, I think what they're doing is trying to pump money into the economy. We also, we know that special sessions, any legislature session is very good for the sex work industry. Yeah. So I think they're trying to pump that and bourbon sales. Yeah, so I think they're trying to help out with that. No, seriously, the governor has asked the legislature to basically write into law the mandate or executive order he came up with last week, saying that you couldn't have vaccine mandates.
That private businesses can't do that.
Yeah, I'm confused by it all because I don't know exactly how it applies. I mean, I know that we've been kind of scared into thinking that there's a vaccine mandate that's coming out soon from at the federal level, but technically speaking, it's really a testing mandate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It basically says you have to get tested every week for COVID, and then you can get out of having to take a test
if you have the vaccine.
If you have the vaccine.
Those clever lizard people.
I wouldn't mind it, too, if they expanded that to just, like, if you could somehow prove antibodies or something like that. I think that would calm some people down who have recently had COVID and are like, hey, I don't want to take the vaccine, but also the likelihood of me getting it right now
is pretty low, yeah.
Well, it's about the same as if you had been vaccinated.
What I don't get is, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Greg Abbott a champion of small, hands-off government?
Well,
isn't that kind of all the...
He is, but have you driven from here to Dallas lately?
Yes.
Have you seen the Huff Hines billboards that are out there?
No, I haven't.
In the Al West, and there's a lot of people I think they're going to primary him to his right, and he's also trying to make some waves on a national stage. So this is called Red Meat. Generally, how do I say this without being too, I am a comedy writer. I've written for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I've written for a lot of candidates. It's how I made a living for a while. And I've written for candidates on both sides of the aisle, which helps me.
I never knew that. That's pretty cool.
Well, I don't talk about it much because most candidates are very secretive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's all I'll say on that. But I will say that there is a term, red meat, and sometimes you're throwing that out to a base, depending on whether, you know, one of the things we've done, people always say both sides of the aisle. There are more than just two sides to the aisle. There's quite a few. But, it's big money these days. It's really big money. So a lot of times what happens is there's not even that much governing going on. A lot of it is just getting reelected and whatever.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
So anyway, that's going on. And what's going to be interesting, because a lot of locally here, and locally, through the state, there are a lot of employers who are like, I don't know if I'm supposed to pay attention to the mandate, the executive order from the state
or from the federal government.
I don't know what to do. And then the Texas Medical Association is actually... They've written to the governor directly and said, hey, we would like the Texas Hospital Association, has written and said, we would like to opt out. We're asking you to let us opt out of this because it's kind of essential that our workers be
vaccinated
because it is frontline. They're the most likely to contract this and then spread it to another person, not just another person who has COVID, or we're just talking about COVID. You have to remember, if we have a COVID outbreak in the hospital that we can't tamp down,
people aren't working.
Well, not just working, but remember, on other floors, you're talking about people that have heart disease, cancer, little kids with cancer, and they're just saying, hey, look, the last thing we need is to have these big outbreaks, and then suddenly, you know, we're trying to make a living, too, in the hospital association, and the last thing we need is to have people that don't want to come to the hospital, or, you know, we're all these people... The other thing you got to remember, too, if you run a hospital, there's a lot of people that you're financially bankrupting for the last of your life. I'm not trying to be an a-hole. A lot of times they're saving your life, but it's not cheap. And they're like, look, people are already angry when they leave here, when they get bills from us for $250,000. If we also give them COVID, it's going to become a real pain in the ass.
And you can see how fast it spreads. I mean, there's, 100 people in this building, and 7 of them were knocked out within a week to where we had to close the office.
Yeah.
I mean, it spreads fast. I was reading a little bit about this last night, and it's funny to see, of all people, Mark Cuban really standing up against the governor and stuff like that, because obviously he owns the Dallas Mavericks, and one of the big talking points in the NBA right now is the they're requiring players to get the vaccine, and you have people like Kyrie Irving for the Nets that are refusing to. A dude that is set to possibly win a championship this year, lose multi-millions of dollars because he doesn't want to get the vaccine, and he doesn't believe in the mandate. So it's just interesting to see where all this is headed. But the good thing is last time there was a big fight about states' rights versus the federal government. They seem to have squashed it and fixed all that.
We all were pretty good about it. What happened then? I don't remember. What happened? I got nothing.
I think it went well.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Matt, if you were going to put your name on a sauce, what type of sauce would it be?
Like a hot sauce or like a gravy?
Sauce, a dipping sauce, a gravy, any kind of sauce.
Can I have a second to think about it?
Yeah. The reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, in the past we've seen celebrities put their name on vodka, whiskey, beers, but now...
Ooh, rap snacks?
Now, the big thing is sauces. Megan Thee Stallion has put her name on a hot sauce at Popeyes.
That is genius, and I'm here for it.
That is a way to make some dough.
Like Megan Thee Stallion.
She's awesome.
First of all,
did you go see her at ACL Fest?
I did, and I'm not even super versed in what she does. I read up a little on her. I like her. I think she's cool. I think she's got some coyote edge to her. I think she is fun. She's from H-Town, and I think it's genius to do hot sauce and for Popeyes. She's brilliant.
Absolutely love it. And the reason this piqued my interest is because my fiance calls me a sauce boy. Because why do I set myself up for these?
I don't know, dude. You're just not good at this.
Anytime and every time we go out to eat, especially if it's like fast food, I love getting sauces. Yeah. I love dipping. She gets embarrassed because if there's like a bowl with a little bit of sauce left, I will drink it like a soup.
It's variety. I'm someone who... I've been doing Talktober, and I will go to a trailer, and a person in front of me will order five of the same tacos, and I almost with sadness, I will look at that, and I'm like, wait, why wouldn't you get five different tacos for five different flavor experiences? And I get it. My son is the kind of person who wants the exact same flavor for everything. Every meal.
No.
Every day.
I need it all. Literally at Popeyes, there's that one off Cameron Road that's kind of close by here. I love their chicken strips. I love their regular chicken, but I always get sauce. Now, if they get my order wrong, I will not drive back through or go inside. If they forget my variety of sauces,
you're going right back
my
in?
Ass coming back in, and I'm gonna ask for my sweet heat sauce and my honey mustard and everything like that.
Now, this one's tough because the sauces that I particularly like, I love a dipping sauce for a piece of fried catfish.
Ooh, yeah. Tartar, a remoulade.
Yeah, some places, sometimes I've seen people call them catfish beignets. Which I like as a term, but a little strip of catfish fried really well with cornmeal.
Mm.
Yeah, different sauces for that. But you generally have to be around the tartar family.
Yeah,
but a jalapeno,
cocktail is always good.
I'm like a cocktail. I don't know fish.
Really, yeah.
It goes on a shrimp, but it doesn't. You want to step outside?
We're about to get into this.
But I think if I really came down to it, if I was going to put my name
on a sauce.
I gotta let you know I love hot sauces.
Yeah.
I would love to make a smoked wing sauce, like a smoked Frank's Red Hot.
Yes. I mean, have you ever had the smoked wings at Green Mesquite?
Yeah.
It's just an incredible flavor.
Well, that's kind of where I'm coming from, yeah.
I love it. So Matt's smoked wing sauce. I thought about a sweet and spicy honey mustard, like a rushing dressing, but my favorite utilitarian dipping sauce is creamy Italian. And almost everything I cook, I cut up roast potatoes, dump some creamy Italian in there. I don't have something to dip my French fries in. Creamy Italian, chicken wings, no sauce. Creamy Italian. When I go shopping at HEB to get groceries, I don't buy a salad. I don't get any other kind of salad dressing, but I will get some creamy Italian just because it's what I eat. And I think Newman's Own, I kind of have that look. I'm a hairy guy, Italian. Come get us some of CJ's creamy Italian. Why are you staring at me like this? It's genius.
Because I'm trying to not make the obvious joke about how much you love to have an Italian cream. Okay, I'm just trying to, you know what I mean?
It's already out there in the public's mind.
I just like to grow up.
101X, Matt and CJ. CJ.
I'm not sure if there's a term for Scrooge of Halloween.
Yeah, dude, me.
I might be it. I don't. Pumpkin carving, I hate it. I hate carving pumpkins.
Yeah, yeah. You got kids, too, so you have to.
I know it's coming up because this is going to be a weekend where fall weather finally gets here.
Yep.
And I know that my wife is going to have us carving pumpkins this weekend.
Which are going to rot by before Halloween, even.
Well, and my wife is from way up north. She didn't understand that because up there they carve a pumpkin a month out and it sits on your porch all month because it's fine because it's 30 degrees where she's from.
It doesn't rot right away and get infested with flies.
But the first couple of years she was here, she was having us carve pumpkins in July, and I was like, sweetheart, that's not how it works down here in the South. You carve a pumpkin. Pumpkins are more fragile than bananas here in Texas. Mm-hmm. You carve it. You put it out. You hope that it makes it through one night before it falls apart and turns into goop, and then kids pick it up and throw it in the street. So, and I know I'm doomed, and now I'm really pissed off. I'm really pissed off at some group up there at Pioneer Farms, whatever it's called. You know, Pioneer Village?
Yeah, yeah. I used to live across the creek from it.
You know, up there in Round Rock.
Uh-huh.
I'm super
Pioneer Village. That's different.
I'm super pissed off right now.
What's going on?
I'm getting ready to tell you.
Oh, no.
I get dragged out to these sweet berry farm things, go berry picking. At Christmas time when you're a dad, your wife drags you out with the kids to go look for your own Christmas tree.
Yeah.
There's all these farm things to do.
My grandma used to take me to do that stuff, and I hated it. It sucks. It's work.
What did your grandfather take you to do?
I think you know that story.
So it just gets me so crazy. You know, so then I just read this today. There's something called... what's the name of it? Pumpkin Nights, the Jacko Extravaganza that combines serious artistry with small-town harvest festival kicks. It's arriving at Pioneer Farms. It's a living history. Oh, well, Pioneer Farms is a living history museum. And these people, apparently, it's incredible. There's a guy named Alex the Pumpkin Geek and they say there's a path out there you can go. I'm not dogging on it because I bet it probably is kind of cool. I'm just a real grump. But it's supposed to be insane. Pumpkin Nights, there's one here in Austin, there's one in Dallas. And they've made jack-o'-lantern dragons. It's just this huge jack-o'-lantern. But to me, that sounds like having a drive through Zilker Park to look at Christmas lights. I'm like, why do I want to do that?
And what did we talk about the dad thing last week? There's a fight before the kids get in the car.
Yes.
There's a fight on the way there.
Yes.
And then there's a fight when it's time to go home.
Yes.
So I don't think you're a grump. I think your stress is well received. But can I give you this is really stupid, and you're gonna say I'm either a genius or I'm an idiot, but I've got a little pumpkin carving tip for you. Do you have a reciprocating saw?
I've done that.
You know that real tiny blade? It's perfect. It makes it so much easier. You can do precision designs. And then the next step is...
I don't hurt your feelings, but do you know what a plunge saw is?
No. You got something better?
Come on up. Come over to Daddy's house and let me show you how it's done, baby.
All right. This might be a fun thing to do. And then we'll build a trebuchet together to launch the pumpkins into the creek behind your house.
You're now...
I love this. It's turning fun.
You know what? You may have me interested for the first time ever, because the idea of trebucheting those pumpkins over the creek.
Over the creek and behind your house. Dude.
Yeah, I purposely found the house that I'm in because I wanted it to kind of resemble the house I grew up in. And I grew up on a river, and I like that there's no one behind me. But the idea of being able just to fling those through the woods sounds pretty cool.
It's the most amazing thing
You've
ever.
You've done that before and flung a...
Yeah, man. I built...
Hang on. Candle or no candle lit in it?
No candle. I mean, I was doing it. This was a house I lived in South Austin.
Don't tell me the whole... This gets its own story.
It's a catapult.
Write it down.
I built a catapult.
Yeah, and this gets its own story. Don't tell it right now.
Let me give you my second tip for those pumpkins. Now, they're going to turn out much worse later on, but if you... I forget the name of it, but there's a waterproof spray kind of lacquer that you can use. Like, if you go skiing or you're playing in the snow, you can spray it on your clothes. But
Scotchgard?
Scotchgard, maybe. Yeah. Scotchgard your pumpkins, and they'll hold up a little longer.
What?
Just give it a try.
Really?
Scotch guard your pumpkins.
I made that up.
You got a towel and dry it out and get all the little mushy goo out.
See, that's the part I don't like. Is it? You know, we've all raised such soft kids these days, and that's what I don't like. The pumpkins, I don't even like doing it. But my kids won't touch the goop on the inside.
So you got to...
I got to scrape out every single... Dude. And they're always like, hey, we each want to do two. We each want to do three. We each want to do four. And I'm like, I got to scrape these mother effers.
That's dad's work. Yeah.
Ugh, that part is the worst. But now I will say this. I don't know why I hate it, because every year I have the best pumpkin. Like in the family?
Yeah.
First of all, my wife always makes hers way too sweet. Secondly, my daughter always makes hers way too sweet. And thirdly, my youngest son, well, he's an idiot.
Yeah,
so he doesn't know how to carve anything yet. You know, because he's like, oh, my little 7-year-old hands don't know how
to
work.
So they're all on the back porch doing this, and you're in the garage with your miter saw and just a caliper measuring precise
cuts.
Well,
I'm not going to half-ass it. If I'm going to do something I hate, I at least have to make it look pretty awesome. Yeah. Anyway, you know what? You've really helped me out, because I think this is going to be the first year that I'm kind of excited maybe about carving a pumpkin.
And why is that?
Because you're going to come over to my house and we're going to build a trebuchet
and we're going to launch these things.
Why do I also have a feeling that there's a story next week about me having to replace windows?
Yeah, or take me to the hospital again.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Question, Matt.
Yes.
We work together. We obviously don't live together, but in the evening, without using your psychic powers, can you tell when I've gotten into the edibles?
You mean when you're texting me?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So last night I did. I got into the edibles while my fiance was hanging out with your wife at your house, was having a good time, but this particular gummy hit me much harder than I was expecting. In the middle of cooking dinner.
Okay.
So I'm making some kind of Italian wedding soup, which involves making meatballs and making the soup and the broth and doing all this.
Quick point of inquiry.
Yes.
Is that the closest to a wedding you'll ever come?
It's looking like that. Man, that hit a little close
to
home.
Sorry. Oh, man.
Damn.
Oh.
Man down. We got a man down.
Dunk.
I thought it would be delightful when my fiance returns home to proudly see my restored Halloween decorations, which
right.
were promptly destroyed by the storm, and to see that I made some dinner for him.
Nice. That's actually a nice move.
It's something I love doing when she's busy, making sure she comes home after a show or a meeting or evening with her lover to have something to eat.
Right.
To refresh herself. The only problem was while I was like a little stoned, it became kind of difficult to cook. And one of the things she's always on me about is, hey, after you cook, will you clean the dishes right away? Will you clean everything up? But I like to cook and I like to eat. And then after you eat, it's kind of tough to go do the dishes.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? I'm with you on that.
It is. But I guess when she was on her way home, I decided, I better wrap this up really quick. So I'm cleaning my mess, but apparently I didn't really clean it. What I did was take a rag and just smear soup and meat grease all over the kitchen, making a mess, making it even worse. So when she comes home, she sees that, and she always goes like, you got this close.
Yeah.
You did something, but you got this close.
Do you get points at all or any consideration for at least trying?
No, it pisses her off more because what did she have to do when she got home? She had to pack up the food. She then had to re-clean the kitchen because, again, everything is just smeared with mess. Because it's soup, you make a soupy, meaty mess, and so she has to spray down, clean everything. And then as the evening goes on, I didn't know this until this morning. As the evening went on, I was a little stoned, would pull out some peanuts and snack on them here and there.
You'd make a mess. You'd drop peanuts here and there?
But we have these little, like, healthy fruit roll-up things. Pulls out snack on them.
I don't want to hear that. It's disgusting.
Made a little bit of popcorn. Popcorn's good. It's a light snack.
Whoa, dude.
Need that before bed.
You were really high. Like, you had soup, nuts.
Fruit roll-up.
Fruit leather.
Popcorn. And then, before the end of the night, I'm a bit of a cheese head. I love having different kinds of cheese, but the easiest is just to take that Parmesan cheese, sprinkle it in your hand, and shove it down your mouth.
Is that why you asked us yesterday if we had any Parmesan cheese to bring to you?
I did. I did, yeah. Because I needed it for the soup, and I thought I didn't have any, but I did. I had the canned kind. I can't believe I forgot I texted your wife asking to send Lisa home with some Parmesan cheese. My high brain is so frustrating.
I know. Why can't you just agree with your wife, or soon-to-be, or fiancé, whatever. I don't know who she is to you. Why can't you all just have an agreement that things will get clean in the morning when you get up?
Because she hates that. She thinks it brings bugs, which it does. I agree. When I had roommates, it was the same thing. It's like, do the dishes, clean stuff before you go to bed so you don't get bugs.
It's not also because you don't actually get up until like 10 or 11?
It could be part of it. She's up a little earlier. Anyhow, so...
Oh, a little earlier?
This morning, I go into... She's working from home today. I go into her office and I go, hey, babe, how you doing? She goes, uh-uh. And I was like, oh, so I go back into the room and I'm doing some show prepping and she comes in and she goes, so you remember when I came home and cleaned the kitchen last night after you cooked? I was like, oh, yeah. And she's like, then I cleaned some peanuts. And I was like, oh, okay. And she goes, you know, then after that, I cleaned some popcorn. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she goes, oh, and there's Parmesan cheese all over the fridge and the floor this morning. So I'm a little pissed at you because I didn't realize she was basically following me around last night, picking up after my high, munchy ass every 10 minutes. Yeah, dude, I think you nailed it. Am I going to get married? Probably not.
Nah, dude, it's her fault. She chose you, and you're a child. So that is on her.
I'm not a child. Just
you're a child.
Because I have a Lego room.
You're a child.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Talktober treating you well? I just looked at your Instagram account at Talktober, and I noticed there's some Walgreens gas relief in a bottle of water instead of a taco.
That's from Saturday, dude.
Oh, okay. So you're doing better?
Yeah, since Saturday, sure.
Yeah, sure. Give us a Talktober update. And
well, kinda... for those who don't know, in Talktober, I decided a long time ago, it would be interesting to do a month where you ate only tacos. And then I said, well, that would be crazy because not everybody could do that. So I invented three different ways to play. You could either have one taco a day for 31 days, mm-hmm. or you could just eat 31 tacos total over the month.
Which is what I'm doing.
Right. And I decided to, I'm going to eat tacos at every single meal for 31 days. That'd be 93 different meals.
Every-ish. Single day.
And tomorrow would be the 15th, which is almost the halfway point.
Yeah. Are you killing yourself?
I made a mistake.
I really made a mistake. Yesterday during a meeting we had, you were like, someone mentioned Talktober, and you were like, I made a mistake.
Yeah, it's just a lot of...
Can you have too many tacos? Yes. Is that your answer?
It's just becoming a little difficult because I think it was my job just to have tacos all the time. It'd be a lot easier. I'd be getting up and driving into these different places and trying all these different places. But I cook at home a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I have
wife and kids.
Kids that I have to drive and pick up and things I have to do around the house. So a lot of times I'm just cooking in the house. And then a lot of times I come home and there's dinner and the family's eating one thing, like oh, that looks good.
But you got to make yourself a taco.
Quickly make a taco on the side.
I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking about your gut health. But
I can't force the kids. I can't force my family to do my dumb thing. Now I've had some great tacos. I'm a little behind just because, you know, social media isn't my favorite thing in the world to do. So I think I'm behind like by a full maybe 24 hours in posting what I have. I have all the pictures and I have them. You know, color corrected or whatever. I just need to load them and write the stuff. It's just that sometimes it's really hard when you're full of tacos and you're burping taco flavor.
To look at a taco
and write about a taco in a positive light. And I don't want to write about a taco in a negative light if I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I had a really good guisada taco today.
Ooh.
Highlight of the day so far has been the guisada taco. But I will say that going into this, I thought, eating nothing but tacos is going to be so easy breezy for me because I love tacos.
Yeah. It could be a very simple food to make, too. Just meat and a tortilla.
Next year, what I really should have done is just said I'm going to have a taco every day for 31 days.
Yeah.
And kind of made one taco the specialty each day and given it a highlight or what have you. the only and all tacos thing is I don't know that I am going to want to live all the way to the end of the line.
Yeah.
it has become quite a bit. And I will say this. I am almost single-handedly keeping the... like the Zantac industry going.
Alive.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear that? That's
oh,
me burping. Just talking about tacos right now has me. It's the thing, too, is that I can't not. Can you not eat the chips and hot sauce when you go to a place?
You got to. It's so good. Weren't you just at Amaya's, right?
I did Amaya's
and
yesterday.
Their hot sauce is incredible.
I found the new little place over on Cameron today that I've never. I didn't really ever notice before. And I was just like, oh, look at that. So I pulled into it. And it was great. And so, you know, I think sometimes people are afraid to try new taco places. Sometimes they can look a little sketch. Or I think for a lot of folk, they can feel out of place, especially if you're like, I bet there's not a lot of English in that building. And somebody feels like, well, I'll look silly or I'll look stupid, which is you should never let that keep you from going into a restaurant.
That's how you get the good food.
Well, I have never, ever been into a restaurant. I've been in lots of them where there is definitely a language barrier. I've never been in one where someone wasn't happy to try to help me get what I was wanting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think people are appreciative. Food's like the big levelizer for all of us.
And it makes us,
it makes us kind of get along a little better. And kind of a good way to think about it, too, is if you are intimidated by going into a taco place where there might be a little different language and a little different culture for that 30 minutes that you'd be in there, then that should give all the more reason to think really positively about people who come here from all corners of the world and are like, I'm going to give it my try in the land of opportunity. And they do it every day. They do it every day until they figure it all out. You know what I mean? And I think it gives you a little more respect for people that come here from wherever, war-torn or poorer or just wanting a new outlook on life. So, I'm sorry. Now I've gotten into some really serious stuff.
Tacos, great unifier, or will it kill Matt Bearden?
Yeah, but I will say I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep doing it. I will probably make a bullet taco on day 31.
Okay, we're worried about you, but we're fighting for you.
101X, Matt and CJ.
I am not a fan of scary movies.
No?
Just not. I will watch them. I do, but they just bug me. They disturb me. They give me scary nightmares.
You do little tinkles in
little
your pants.
Little tinkles.
I thought everybody liked scary movies.
Not really. I don't. And I know Halloween is a spooky season, and people love cuddling up to their favorite horror movie. Yesterday,
I like cuddling up to my favorite.
Yeah, you do. Yesterday, we did a list of scientifically the scariest movies ever. A lot of them were more recent ones. A lot of them ones we've probably seen.
Yeah, I will say the science behind it was iffy.
It's kind of
sure.
BS. Yeah. Hey, man, you got to trust the science. Well, I decided that I'm probably not the only person that doesn't like scary movies but still loves spooky season. So I made a list of the perfect Halloween movies for wussies.
Really?
Yes.
What is that? Explain that to me, the concept.
Yeah, basically, if you don't like horror movies, you're not into Chucky or Pinhead from Hellraiser or Candyman, I made movies that fit good with Halloween, with spooky season, but they're not super scary. They're good to watch, but they're not going to give you the heebie-jeebies and nightmares.
You know what I have to say to that, don't you?
Go ahead. Well, you know what? There are other people out there just like me, and here's a few movies that I think are perfect for Halloween.
Okay, can you do me a favor? I want you actually to go through this for everybody. I'm excited about it. Can you do me a favor, though?
Yeah.
Will you wake me up when the segment is over?
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Perfect.
and hit snooze there. Young Frankenstein.
Actually, a great movie.
Great movie. Great comedy.
I know it!
Ghostbusters.
Okay,
terrible. Beetlejuice.
Okay,
that's a fun spooky movie.
Headed.
You're probably gonna S all over this one. Donnie Darko.
You didn't think it was scary at all?
I mean, the rabbit was a little, but the soundtrack's so good to it. I just love that movie.
Why do you think I'm gonna S on Donnie Darko?
Because Donnie Darko was very much When Friends first showed it to me, it was very much like that hipstery, like, heady, like, dude, what do you think it means, man? I think it means. And it was just talked about a lot, and I was like, I just like the
movie. I mean, there is
an
issue in that, like, Donnie Darko, Fight Club. There's a whole string of movies that resulted in a lot of dudes deciding that they were deep in artists as opposed to just like, no, dude, you just smoke a lot of weed is all.
The Burbs with Tom Hanks. You remember that one?
I don't remember
it. They have creepy neighbors that are like, they think are murdering people. The Burbs is a good one. Sleepy Hollow. We've got Hocus Pocus for the ladies.
It's so bad. Hocus Pocus is so bad.
Kids love it, though.
No. And what's her what's her name? Najimi? What's her name?
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, on the far left. Najimi or whatever. That's Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah, right there.
Right there?
She's the quote-unquote hot witch. The Addams Family. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay. A Rocky Horror Picture Show without going to the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
It's not the same.
No,
it's a fun thing to do in a group. Beetlejuice.
I thought you already did Beetlejuice.
Scream.
Wait, did you already read Beetlejuice earlier?
Yeah.
So you listed it twice?
Yeah. Is that good? Scream. Scream's kind of a scary one, but Scream, I feel like, was just that groundbreaking start of that kind of new wave of scary movies when I was in high school.
I just watched Scream this weekend with my daughter.
Hold up.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good?
It did fine, yeah.
This one also for the ladies, The Craft.
You know what else I would like to know if it's held up?
What?
Neve Campbell.
Maybe. Ernest Scared Stupid. this one made right here in Austin, The Faculty.
I don't remember.
The Hunt for Red October. Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead
classic.
Is a great, great, great movie, and that's exciting. Okay.
House of a Thousand Corpses.
never saw it, but I'm excited.
Beetlejuice.
Okay, I like that one. Glad you listed it.
Dude, this one has to be a classic from your youth, Lost Boys. Very homoerotic vampire fun. I love it. All for it. Lost Boys.
Beetlejuice.
What We Do in the Shadows, E.T., Nightmare Before Christmas, all honorable mentions. So that's my clickbait, 101x.com, if you're like me and you're
Well, dude,
you're
if
scared.
You're doing clickbait, you can't read all of them.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to say wait and see number one. Son of a bitch. No one's going to read it now. 101x.com.
101x. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Are you entitled to a portion of the $3 billion out there in the state of Texas in unclaimed funds?
I hope so.
It should be unclaimed money time of the year.
Yeah, is this that website where you just type in your name and it tells you if like an old cable company owes you 50 cents kind
That's
of thing?
Exactly what it is.
Yes, I love it. And I always feel like I hear about that once a year in the media. I search for myself, my mom, my sister, my dad, my whole family, and nothing.
Well, it is. It's a story. It's like a go-to story for a lot of journalists, especially probably like a junior journalist who's like, I gotta come up with a story. And you're like, oh, I'll do the Claim It Texas. ClaimItTexas.org is where you go. And I always have, yeah, not always. I've had a couple times I've had like a, you know, small like $5 check or something that I forgot to claim.
Mm-hmm.
It came from like, I don't know what it's from. And, there's been people in there that had tons of money that have been, but I thought, if you got time, I don't know if you got to get anywhere.
You want to check it out?
I thought we should go check it out. Are you ready?
Okay.
I got to load it up. Yeah,
I'm ready.
I'm not an idiot. I know how to do a show. Search for unclaimed property. I'm going to put in my last name right here, Beardden. And my first name is, And then my current zip code. And then we're going to see if there's anything out there for Big Daddy. Do we have a timpani drum in here?
Yeah, you keep asking me, and I keep forgetting to load one into the system. So let's go to our famous YouTube playlist.
Okay,
here we go.
And a little something like...
I did not choose the right timpani.
Symphony.
You literally just pulled an instrument of a guy describing how a timpani is played?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Let's see. Matt. Oh, now this is my name right here. But I have never lived at this address. But somebody who looks and sounds just like me, or at least name-wise, has got $59.30 waiting for him, $52, $54.
Bro, claim that ass.
It's all one person, and they've got my name, and they got lots of... Ooh, this is me right here.
Wait, what do you got?
This one is me.
Okay.
$75.
Woo! Oh! Okay.
I don't know if this is me, but there's one for $50. It's my name, but it doesn't have any city. Maybe I wonder.
So what's the? Do you know more about the process once you?
Oh, this
found...
one is me. This one's me. $141.
Dude, that's great.
Yeah,
we should donate that to something.
Here's somebody named Myrtle Bearden who has $91,000 unnamed three times.
Dude.
Mineral rights payments, and her husband has mineral rights payments, and neither of them have collected the money.
So they're probably some really elderly, probably. I guess mineral rights means they probably own a big chunk of land in Texas.
Something got paid out, they had moved or whatever, or they've passed and their kids don't know that it's sitting there. And that's where a lot of this is. We once found almost $12,000 my grandmother had from a life insurance policy that she bought when she was like 20 years old.
So, wow.
You know, yeah. And so there's things like that. Danielle, you want to check out? You want to see if there's anything for you in here?
Yeah, find something for me.
Okay, let me go back here and go to the home, and then we're going to search for you, okay?
Okay.
Now, here's the thing.
I'm going to write down my
zip code. You have to be able to kind of prove who you are, and it's not exactly super easy. Do you want to know how I got my money last time?
How?
One of the people that worked in this department for the state listened to my morning show.
And heard you talking about it?
And then got the stuff for me and then just helped me file it. So it's not as fun. So here's
you got to do paperwork.
You got to do paperwork. It's not super easy. I know what your name is.
Oh, okay. Well, I wrote it down for you just in case.
So it's like, did you think I don't know your name?
I don't know.
7875.
I owe so much money to the United States government right now that if I had anything coming, it's probably already going to be seized by the IRS or the Treasury Department.
Have you ever lived in Houston?
Nope.
Ever lived in Richmond, Texas?
Nope.
Converse, Texas?
Nope.
Ever lived in Hughes Springs, Texas?
Never.
Ever lived in Lake Dallas, Texas?
Not even close.
Ever lived... Well, here's one for Casey Morgan Morgan.
Oh, how much is that for?
$30.
Ah! I don't have any. I've lived in Austin and Amarillo. So if you see one of those Casey Morgans, then yes, that money's mine.
I'm going to tell you what. There are so many Casey Morgans out there that are owed like $500, $600, $800, but none of them, you live in the wrong places, dude. You never lived in San Angelo?
No.
I've gone all the way through all of the Casey Morgans, and it turns out you ain't got nothing, dude.
Okay, well,
you got nothing.
I'm kind of pissed off, and this isn't fair. So, because I want my name in different counties and cities to list me, why don't you go to the Warrant Roundup website? And you'll find me in Odessa, Ector County. You'll find me in Childress. You'll find me in Hayes County. So,
all right.
Let's do the Warrant Roundup so I win something, too.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Do you believe it all in hauntings, ghosts, any of that stuff?
I used to. I don't anymore.
Oh, what happened? You became an intelligent person?
Pretty much.
Here come the angry emails.
Dude, people get so pissed if you talk about aliens or ghosts not being real.
It becomes a sore subject.
But... No, I mean, I get spooky vibes with stuff sometimes, and I'll play into it, the crystals and the energy and the... Logic Mind usually takes over for me, but I do like playing into it. I do like having fun with it.
Yeah, there's a list out right now of the 10 most haunted spots in Austin.
Ooh.
Places to go check out. I thought we could go through it.
We have 10 total?
The most haunted.
Oh, so there's even more. The only place I ever knew about was, the Driscoll, right? Is that there's a legendary room where someone died and there's a ghost at the Driscoll Hotel?
I would say your old bedroom before you met your current would be the...
A lot of people slayed there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Littlefield Home is on our list. Do you know where the Littlefield Home is?
No clue.
You ever go to UT campus for anything?
like to look post at, office actually, and yeah,
or you ever just want to drive around and look at what real college students look like. Mm-hmm. I went to Texas State.
Texas
State. Yeah, and if you're ever there and you turn off of 24th and you go into the campus on the left hand side, there's this big red kind of brick building. That's actually the people donated.
Very Victorian looking. That looks spooky as hell.
They were super rich people. They kind of owned the hill there, and they actually donated the land to build the university on. But the tales told, George Littlefield and his wife, supposedly Alice, haunt the building. Here's why I love the building. Is there used to be, when I went to school there, there was one parking space inside of the little parking area for the Littlefield house.
That no one knew about?
That you didn't have to have a permit for. It was like a guest, it was an unmarked guest parking. And so I used to park there all the time. It was like a secret. And then you would look in the windows of this building, and it's just, it's sad because it's just a storage building for the campus. You know what I mean? There's just like boxes. It's not even desks. They're just boxes and boxes of paperwork in there. And it's, you're like, oh, this could be really gorgeous. I don't mean, I don't know what you would put in there. But you know how when you drive to a place and it says employee of the month?
Yeah.
Like, what if you were the student of the week and then you get to stay in this fancy house for a week or something?
Yeah, or you'd think like the dean would live on campus or something, donate it to a...
You don't want to keep, you don't want any faculty on campus around the kids that much because that causes problems later on. You have a little separation.
You're right,
now.
You're right.
Yeah, so they supposedly it is haunted, and which is scary. I don't believe necessarily that it's haunted, but...
Would you stay the night there, Matt?
You know what? I just said I don't believe it's haunted, and literally the app just crashed right when I said that.
Ooh! That means we'll have to return to this another spooky time.
Does it really mean that?
I don't know. You can't read the article anymore.
I can't, and it won't go back to it.
Yeah, dude, you cursed the ghost.
I'm not kidding. Okay. I'm not kidding. It just keeps going to the old Celis story.
Okay. That's proof that ghosts are real, Matt. Absolute proof.
I don't know why you're kidding right now.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Matt, the Big Bang isn't the beginning of the universe anymore.
Oh, okay. According to Facebook?
No.
Is it your grandmother on Facebook letting us know that it's actually...
No, this is actually an article in Scientific Magazine.
What Scientific Magazine is that? Field and Stream?
No, scientificmagazine.org.
Oh, it's just called Scientific Magazine?
Scientific Magazine, yeah.
I get you.
So, the Big Bang, not the beginning of the universe anymore.
Okay, well, explain.
I didn't read it. It's very confusing, so I just read that headline.
Wait, so...
It's too confusing.
Basically, the biggest news to ever come out, and you were like...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were ready to go to a song? Yeah. I didn't realize that. My bad.
Yeah.
Biggest thing I've ever heard, and you're like, oh, let's go to the song. No big deal. Just the Big Bang at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, not even the beginning of the universe.
All right, you want to go get a Red Bull?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Hey, caller, how are you? What can we do for you?
Hey, I just wanted to say I really appreciate you guys doing this afternoon talk show thing. It's good for my drive home, and sometimes I actually find it better than the morning show.
Yeah, don't get us in trouble.
appreciate it, man. It's kind of nice to be able to sit in the afternoon and talk to you guys while you're headed home.
I hope you guys... I know you don't really have probably total control over this, but... I could go with more talking and less music. I feel like you guys only talk for like 5 minutes. It's like, man, you're just getting into a good conversation.
Yeah, well, you're going to get us in trouble again.
Right on. I appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it, man. We'll Venmo you your $10.
Yeah.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
So, CJ, was Hitler a hero? Are you panicked? I'm going to get us fired right now. Are you wondering where I'm going with this?
I am a little worried.
Okay, you're probably wondering where I'm going because that's a weird thing, I think, in this culture to say out loud, right?
Yeah, one of the most evil people that ever existed.
Well, we're getting into unintended consequences right here. Are you familiar with a little something called H.R. 30, which is the House Bill, $39.79 was passed earlier. Does that ring a bell at all? Probably doesn't and wouldn't to most of us, but that's the bill that went through the Texas House and says basically that teachers have to present ideas from another perspective. So if they're teaching about slavery being bad, they also have to present stuff that talks about slavery being or at least the idea that, you know, the Civil War wasn't about slavery or whatever. You know, there's this panic people have about something called critical race theory, which...
Oh, that's a pretty light topic.
Well, when I say something called critical race theory, it's because most people still, if you ask them to define it, have a hard time. I am one of those people. I've tried to do a little research into it, learning some. It's not exactly always. It's kind of used as a bit of a boogeyman. Now, the reason I know it sounds like we're in a quagmire, but I'm going to dig us out of this hole now. South Lake Carroll, you might be familiar with. It's produced some really
good
fantastic football teams and some incredible college football players as well. Well, and I feel kind of for this woman. There is a woman who's the head of like the curriculum and stuff. Her name is Gina Petty. She is going to be, well, she just was on NBC News, they were talking about her. They had the in-services for teachers or whatever, and she was in there and talking about how you needed to look at things from different perspectives. And she said, someone snuck a recorder into this meeting, by the way, and they recorded it, and they have her saying, and make sure that if you have a book on the Holocaust, that you have ones that have an opposing view, has other perspectives. And someone said, how do you oppose the Holocaust? And Patty said, believe me, that's come up. Now, later in the recording, you hear her say, I feel for you. I'm just trying to help protect you and stay inside the law.
Because legally, I have to do this.
Right. I don't think she's saying, hey, I think the Holocaust is a good thing. But apparently, she's already had some parents that have reached out to her and said, there better be some books in there that... Because I don't believe in the Holocaust, or the Holocaust wasn't real. And this is what I'm talking about, unintended consequences.
Yeah, this law is basically catering to conspiracy theorists.
Well, and now what's happening is Senate Bill 3 is coming out and goes into effect in December. It's even more strict. But here's an issue. Sometimes we're doing all this red meat stuff with our politicians. Remember some of our politicians, and I mean this with care. I'm not trying to be an a-hole. But sometimes our politicians in this state, during most of the year, they run a car dealership or they have a lumber yard or, you know what I mean? We have a lot of small counties.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they come to town, they're not always versed in how to write the best laws, the legalese, right? And why would you be necessarily unless you're a lawyer? So the way some of these things are written... They're not really completely defined. So what it's allowing to is a lot of people who want to conspiracy theories are able to say there better be a book in there that has both sides.
That's so bizarre. So
you literally could go in there and say, I want more books that talk about how England was run out of America and treated poorly during the American Revolution and take England's side during. You could go and make that complaint. Saying they're making the horrible thing. They're teaching that George Washington was a great guy when he actually murdered English civilians.
Poor English people. And you know what else? I need to read about the earth being flat.
Well, where does it kind of stop? They will obviously have to go back and start relooking at some of these bills because they're causing a huge problem. But, you know, and a lot of people are mad at this woman, this Gina Petty or whatever. I think she's just trying to keep her teachers from getting in trouble or getting sued and stuff like that. So she's just like, look, I don't think she's advocating, but now she's caught in the middle. And it's already hard enough as it is to be a teacher, plus masks, plus vaccines, plus the teacher slap challenge from TikTok. And now you're like, all right, I guess add Mein Kampf to the library.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
My favorite phone is coming back. Actually, my first ever phone and favorite is officially coming back.
The one on the wall where you twist the crank? And...
No, the Garfield phone where the eyes move when it rings. My first cell phone I ever had, the Nokia brick is coming back. And if you'll remember, that's the one with the... super simple but most amazing game ever called Snake.
Remember it quite well.
Oh, dude, that got me through so many summer family road trips, uncomfortable dinners, just everything. I just love playing Snake. And a lot of people have been, quote-unquote, downgrading to clamshell phones and stuff. Might be time to do that.
Yeah, I loved my, I had a, you know, I used to call them candy bars. I don't know what the actual term was, but I had a Nokia that was, it was pretty fancy. It was nice. It's like kind of a green color. It's pretty hip.
Oh, that was like the second generation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was fancy.
Okay.
And then, I really liked it. Fit in your pocket easily. Remember the whole move was, let's get phones smaller and smaller and smaller, and now they seem
look
to be getting bigger and bigger. I don't want to go back. I'll be honest with you. I prefer having a smartphone. I really enjoy it. It's made pooping a lot better.
You got stuff to read. You can take pictures, not of going to the bathroom, of course. But sure. I mean, dude, in the industry we're in, we need to have our phones on us at all times, just in case a fight breaks out at the Walmart. It does make it easier. But I do.
Do you remember?
Those old school phones.
Yeah, I mean, they are fun to have nostalgia wise. Like you have these pictures up right now on the screen in here.
Yeah.
And I look at them, and it does bring back tons of memories.
Single life, man.
Oh yeah, it is. I remember texting being pretty new, and I remember dating a girl who was so good. But do you remember texting the old kind of alphanumeric texting?
Yeah, it was.
You didn't have a keyboard.
Yeah,
you had to hit three times to get to
ABC.
The letter.
Yep.
And I don't know how she got really good at predictive text too.
Yeah.
So if she texted, I mean, we know what she was texting. You up, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she would text something, and it would take me so long to try to type back. And when I would finally hit, you know, the enter to send it to her,
you would already get another one.
Instantly, and I was like, oh, my God, how is she so good at this? How is she so good at it? But that was also in the days, too, where you had to buy a texting plan.
Yeah, because it costs more to send data. Yes, God, that was such a rip.
But do you remember you would choose like 20 texts, 200 texts. You were like, you know what, I think I'm going to do a lot of texting this month, 200. And you would pay, you know, 10 cents a text or something. And that's how you sent texts to people. Boy, they ripped us off big time.
Oh, they completely did. The cell phone companies are still evil. Oh.
And I miss Snake. So are they bringing the phone back?
Yeah, for the 20th anniversary, they're bringing back the phone with the original Snake on it. It does look like they're making a few upgrades, so it will have some new technology. But man, that phone, it changed dating. It changed for me because you had everyone's number in your phone, whereas before you had to carry around a piece of paper in your wallet. Go to a payphone, go to a buddy's phone, but then all of a sudden, you can call someone you want to date.
Yeah, I know we have listeners that are 20 and they don't understand
how
what we're
changed.
Talking about right now. But you could call somebody before there was voicemail even, and just not talk to them for like, you didn't know if a girl was into you or not because she'd give you a number and you would call it.
It's her home phone number.
Over and over again. Yeah. And unless somebody answered or she had an answering machine or whatever, sometimes you could just call for like a week or so before you got anybody. You didn't know.
Oh, dude, made ghosting so much easier than that.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
So, have you been doing any crypto research, CJ?
I mean, it seems like you don't even have to do research. It's just thrown in your face, and then some expert in a fedora will come around the corner with his vape pen and school you on it. So, no, but I see it everywhere. Hear about
so,
it
you and I had this big meeting with the bosses this week. A cool meeting.
Yeah.
Where we were developing something called benchmarks, if people don't know, in the radio business. Take you behind the curtain a little bit. Come back here. We want to show you something. Benchmarks are things that we can repeat. We can do regularly, not just news stories, but stuff that's fun to do. A lot of shows do games, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But here's what I want to do, and I want to propose to you, is I want to challenge you to some weird-ass crypto fun.
Okay.
Okay. Like, I don't know much about...
Okay, that's what I was about to say. Do I have to, like, do work?
No.
Okay,
dude.
Okay.
Dude, how long have you known me?
Good, yeah.
How long have you known me?
Quite a while.
Okay.
Decade plus.
Yeah. Do you know that in my lifetime, how many, in all of the years that I've been alive, how many resumes have I made?
I mean, you didn't make one for this job, did you? You just kind of got told you were coming over here.
Yeah. I've literally never. Zero. I've never made a resume in my life. I am minimum effort, maximum reward. Okay, and that's what I want out of life. I just think we should pick cryptocurrencies based on their names, something goofy in the news that week.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what it is, but I'll have a portfolio. You'll have a portfolio.
Hell yeah!
And let's just make a weird number. $5 a week, $10 a week, something like that, and we keep adding it in there.
$5 a week.
Okay. Okay. How about this? You do five, I'll do $5,000 a week. That way it's a little more in line with the kind of money we make.
Agree, yeah. Sure thing. Dude, if you had said 50, I still would have laughed.
Yeah, I know. I know. But we'll do like little bits like that, and then at the end of it, whoever wins is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, that'll be fun because that'll be a good chance to invest in some random stuff that I probably never would. I mean, I've got some, I just checked my Robinhood account when you were talking about this because I invested in a bunch of random stuff there, just little bits here, and I'm actually up $179 since first investing in Dogecoin. So,
nice.
So that was kind of a nice surprise, but I think it'll be fun to take completely random, tiny, small, insignificant, weird cryptos and just throw $5 at
it. Well, here's what we have to decide. What day of the week is going to be our crypto day? What time in the show is going to be our crypto time?
Yeah.
Right? And once we decide that, I think we should probably reach out to some people in the community who maybe are like crypto heads
experts
or something and have them give us like a really quick primer, if you prefer. And then we just get set free and go nuts.
Dude, that just brought up something that kind of hurts me. Back in 2011, there was this dude that would do like radio media stuff, and he was huge into crypto and was telling me, he's like, I'll show you how to set up your wallet. You can do it on your phone. Just don't forget your password. Buy some Bitcoin. Here's how it works. He did all that. And I was like, it was back when Bitcoin was just used on like the Silk Road and stuff like that.
Right.
And I was like, no. It's shady. It's weird. I'll forget my password. That dude he's... To say it politely, he's a bit of a conspiracy theorist type also. If you know where I'm going, why I wouldn't necessarily...
Well, we started with the word crypto, so come on.
Yeah.
We all know crypto people in our lives.
This dude's now a millionaire. I should have listened to him and...
There's a guy I would usually have called because he was friends with the old morning show I was on, Dudley and Bob with Matt, right? And he was trying to help me with some crypto stuff, and I was like, I don't know, man. It's over my head. It's confusing or whatever. I can't call him because he's retired and in Colorado now, after a little bit of time. But, there's some people out there that will help us. We don't know exactly where they are, but just look for the big, fat vape clouds rising up from the city. You track them down to the bottom. You'll find a dude there. There's no one who's into crypto who doesn't want to talk to you about it.
Crypto.
So we'll have no problem finding there. But I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun to do if you're cool with it. I mean, it is $5 bucks a week. We might lose it all. It's not a lot of money, you know what I mean? But it could be fun to do to, like, we'll figure out, like, maybe till Christmas time or something, and then...
Kind of see who did more. Or maybe roll a whole year. I mean, I'm sure this crypto venture of ours will...
I get so bored of everything so quickly. I don't know if I can do a whole year.
At least a while. I mean, this is still probably going to pay better dividends than our radio 401k, so I'm down to try it.
Okay.
Just Matt and CJ podcast coming up. Thank you, Spinny. You can find the podcast everywhere, anywhere where podcasts are, and on social media at Just Matt and CJ. We'll see you tomorrow.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons 3 to 6, 101X.